From Ballymoney and County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. I'm delighted to have you join us once again, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next quarter hour, as today the Reverend Andrew Patterson from Garva is letting the Bible speak once more from James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But before we hear the message, let's listen to these words in song.
When I, a poor lost sinner, before the Lord did fall, and in the name of Jesus for pardon loud did call. He heard my supplication, and soon the weak was strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. I'll trust Him for the future, He knoweth all the way. For with His eye He'll guide me along life's pilgrim way. And I will tell in heaven, while ages roll along, how Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and left me with a song.
Good morning, folks. I trust the Lord blessed that message to your heart this morning. And turning us to the Word of God again in James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The last time we were considering this verse, we were noting the word engrafted and what it means, and how God the Holy Spirit is able to, under the sound of the word of God, to cut the heart, and so as to leave that gap for the word to be implanted, so as to bring forth life. That leads us to consider the efficiency of the word. You see, a branch grafted into a tree will make a difference, and a great change will be seen in the days to come. There will be leaves where before there was barrenness. There will be fruit where before there was fruitlessness. And what is true in the physical is also the case in the spiritual. What happens when God's word is laid into the heart, far beyond the reach of the enemy, and by the power and guiding hand of God's Spirit? What happens when the word is laid into that wound, which is so deep, by the Holy Spirit? James tells us in our text, the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. That's how efficient and effective the living word of God is. The word that is preached in your hearing, that word which you read before you lay your head on the pillow at night, is so powerful that it is able to take root, and the result is the salvation of your never-dying soul. The church is not able to save your soul. Many have depended on the church and they have taken it to heart, but their souls are lost in that place where God has forgotten to be merciful. The sacraments of the church are not able to do the same either. They can't save one soul, and neither can this preacher or any preacher. I myself am a sinner saved by God's grace. But what these other things are not able to do, the Word of God is that which is able to save your soul. It was the Apostle Paul in the opening chapter to the church at Corinth who reminded them what means it was that God had ordained that men should believe and be saved. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, "For it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And while the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation." By accepting the word of God preached to your heart, you're acknowledging that I am that sinner. For there's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible reminds us. We're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I am that sinner who needs to have his sin dealt with. And you realize that your sin has taken you to a Christless eternity. For that is what God's word teaches and warns us about. Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that verse teaches us those who will be in that lake of fire. And they will be there because they were unrepentant in their sin, and they never turned to Christ. But by God's Spirit you are also brought through His Word to realize there's one who died on the cross so that your sins might be punished in Him, and they might be forgiven and pardoned, and so that a sinner like you might be saved, saved from the judgment of God against you, and you might go free. The message of the gospel, which is God's word to your heart, is a means whereby you can be saved, for faith, which is a gift of God, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And such is the efficiency of God's word, that doesn't merely give a mere hope of being saved, but it really saves. The good news of the gospel is able to save the sinner now. It is able to render you pardoned and forgiven in God's sight, and set you on that road for heaven, and that for all eternity. It is a word which applies both to the young and older. The psalmist could ask the question, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can you be saved and cleansed in God's sight, young person?" They answer, "By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." That is how potent God's word is. That is why the devil doesn't want you to receive the implanted word of God. And therefore he is likened to the birds of the air which come immediately to snatch away the good seed of the word. He doesn't want it to take root in your heart. He doesn't want it to germinate there, for he knows that if it does, then he has lost your soul forever. For the word of God is that which is able to keep us clean. Ephesians 5, verse 25-26, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify," that means set it apart, set it unto himself, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." And a testimony is given of God's saving grace. So often the preacher's name is forgotten, but many will testify of the word that was preached. Maybe only one verse which spoke to their hearts, which convicted them of their sin, of their standing afar off from the Lord. And that word made them realize that they needed the cleansing in the Savior's precious shed blood. And the Spirit of God lay that word so deep in their wounded heart that they could do nothing else than kneel before God in deep contrition of sin and confess their sins unto the Lord and ask Christ to be their Savior. Tell me this morning, have you a testimony of God's saving power in your life? Can you speak of that time when God's word convicted you of your sin, so much so that you were crippled by it? And by the leading of God's Spirit, you then sought the Lord in salvation while he was to be found. I fear that some of you haven't. And this morning, it is that same word of God. It's the same message of the gospel that I seek to bring to you again, because it is that which is able to save your soul and enable you to become a child of the King. I wonder, will you take heed to God's word this morning and be saved? You see, in order for the engrafted branch to be successful and fruitful, then first of all it needs to be received into the tree. We handle a powerful word this morning, but for the sinner to experience its saving power, then it must be received. And that is what James begins this text by stating. He says, "Wherefore laying apart all filthiness and sufflerity of naughtiness..." receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The salvation which God offers through the person of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not by what you can offer or give to God, but it is by what God gives to us, and we receive from him by faith. If you're ever to be saved, then there must be the receiving of the word of God. You consider what James states, you will see in what way we are to receive it. It is by repentance. There must be a laying aside of the filthiness of the flesh. There's a loathsomeness of your sin, and the abundance of it, so much so that you're prepared to turn from it. And there is to be a receiving of the word then with meekness. And the sense is with a humility and submissiveness. In other words, to be received and taken without argument, and accepting it with honour, as it is in truth the word of God. The patient is sick unto death. They may be in the presence of the very medication which is able to make them well again. But unless it is administered and received and the patient submits themselves to it, then they will continue to be in that state therein. A starving man may be in the presence of bread and of all good things, but unless he receives it and submits himself to the food, he will go away hungry, and without it, he is in danger of perishing. And so it is with a sinner who is sick, and indeed dead in trespasses and in sins. So it is with you, dear soul, who are hungering after that which will satisfy. Your soul will never be well. It will never be satisfied and filled unless and until, by the leading of God's Spirit, you're brought to that place of receiving the word of God to your soul. The one whom we have left before you this morning is Christ who saves and who satisfies. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate, is the only one who can heal your sin-sick soul and who can satisfy your spiritual hunger. For he said on another occasion, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. That life of yours needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder this morning will you have done with the abundance of your sin in all its filthiness. Wonder will you receive the message of the gospel which is able to save your soul. The hymn writer penned it well when he said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. The Savior calls in mercy. He's willing and able to cleanse you from your sin and forgive you. He can make you a new creature this morning and praise his name, give you a new destiny for your eternity. Even the glories of the Father's house. Wonder just now will you receive him who is the incarnate word. As God's Spirit is striving with you and convicting you through his word, then don't delay. But come and know by experience the Lord bringing you out of the darkness of your sin and into his marvelous light. May God do it for his glory's sake. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.